Hare Krishna. We continue our readings from Gopal Champu by Srila Jiva Goswami. Yesterday we had heard how the sound of the cracking trees who came crashing down to the ground was so loud that all the Brijbasis fainted and stayed in this fainting condition for one danda or 24 minutes. So you can rest assured they were worried. From a distance, Shri Brajaraj, that's Nanda Maharaj, and the other cowherd men had heard the tumultuous and terrifying sound. They were fearing that some great calamity had happened, and they rushed to the spot. While they were running, they speculated along the way what could possibly have been the cause of this explosion of sound. And when they came nearby and saw the trees who were lying on the ground, they cried to each other, what has uprooted these trees? There was no wind here, no rainstorm, no lightning, nor were there elephants who attacked the trees. Who or what has uprooted them? They were so perplexed that they said, this is the greatest disaster which ever happened in Vrindavan. Well, said someone, we were all knocked down unconscious and were lying on the ground, so there no one could do anything. Just then they noticed little Gopal playing around the crashed down trees. He smiled very beautifully, and he still playfully tucked at the mortar. And everyone who saw him like this, innocently pulling on the rope, were just submerged in an ocean of great, great bliss. But then after some time, they again began to discuss the disaster. What happened? They asked. Does anyone know what happened? Now when our little Damodar, our little Mukunda, saw that his father was coming from behind, he began to nervously cry. And although Nanda Maharaj was still bewildered as to what happened, he just flashed a smile to pacify his darling child and quickly untied him. Then Nanda Maharaj took baby Krishna up and kissed his face. And although Nanda Maharaj knew exactly who had tied Krishna and why he had been tied and bound, he again and again asked, oh my son, where is that wicked person who forcefully bound you to the mortar? Tell your father. Now after some time, Krishna, who was very much in the pastime, climbed the lap of his father. He took his little arms and totally disarmingly put them around the neck of his father. And then with a voice which was quivering, he slowly spoke into his ear, he was aware or took care that no one listened to him. And he said, "Father, it was mother who bound me." Now what happened to your shoulder? When she heard the deafening crash, she fainted. And when she came back to consciousness, she was beside herself with inner pain. She began to repent. "What have I done?" Nanda Maharaj knew about this. And therefore, he felt she is already totally upset. If I asked her, even in private, what happened, she will be more upset. So she refrained from even asking her. He was so much stirred up that he also didn't ask the little children who were there around laughing and being in the most joyful moods. He thought, what could these little boys know? But then it were the children who spoke up. "Father, we saw everything. We clearly watched how your son went between the trees. He identified an open space and wanted to play there. As he moved away from the trees, the grinding mortar to which he was bound became caught in between them. And from a slight angle, a little away, he tucked at the grinding mortar. Tuck, tuck. Immediately, when he started to do this, the trees made a loud cracking sound and came crashing to the ground. Then we saw two divine personalities. They were adorned with crowns, earrings, armor, and they came out from the tree with bodies as bright as fire. After going around and around around your Krishna and offering him obeisances, they said something which we could not hear, but it was meant to please him. And then they went off into the northern direction. Nanda Maharaj and the others were thinking, "Silly little boys, what are you saying? Krishna's a small boy, he can't crack trees, not at this size." But others who heard the boy's narration were left with a doubt. Sometimes those who were not so close to Krishna, and sometimes even those who were close to Krishna, in extraordinary circumstances, developed a doubt. Could it be that our Gopal is not just invested with some strengths, but could it be that he is he? So all the people came there in ones or in twos, it means with their friends, and gradually there was a large crowd of Brijbasis around Gopal. Nanda Maharaj took little Krishna up and held him to his chest, and then he went with all of his people to the Jamuna to finish his morning activities. We can just see the little this delightful little scene of parental love. He took Krishna on his lap and went into the river and then bathed. And after dressing, he immediately asked for some brahmanas to come and chant the Swasti Vachanam prayers. I will just give you a little idea what the prayers sounded like. Om Swasti no Govinda, Swasti no Chutananto, Swasti no Vasudevo, Vishnu Dadhatu, Swasti no Narayano Nadovai, Swasti na Padmanabha, Purushottamo Dadhatu, Swasti no Vishvaksheno Vishveshvaraha, Swasti no Hrishikesho Hari Dadhatu, Swasti no Vanateyo Harihi, Swasti nonjana Suto Hanu Bhagavato Dadhatu, Swasti Swasti Sumangalai Kesho Mahan, Sri Krishna Sachidananda Ganaha Sarveshvareshvaro Dadhatu. The last line says, Sri Krishna, the personification of eternity, knowledge and bliss, the Supreme Lord of Lords, may He bestow upon us all prosperity and auspiciousness. This is a mantra from the Krishna Upanishad. The Brahmanas chanted these different mantras. Little did they know that it was Krishna himself who had arranged all this and who was now hearing their prayers and smiling to himself. Sometimes it is doubtful if sometimes Krishna smiles at such situations. Sometimes in Vrindavan he forgets that he is God and folds his own hands, as the Swasti Vachana, the mantras to invoke auspiciousness, are chanted by Brahmanas. Afterwards, when everything was finished, Nanda Maharaj gave great wealth to the Brahmana. He then returned to his home, ready to take his breakfast. Now, Yashoda felt so sad and so absolutely embarrassed that she had bound Krishna that she could not leave the inner chambers of the house. She could not even speak with the gopis, the ladies who had come to see her. So after all this has happened, Rohini, who had come back and who was expert in satisfying everyone in all situations, directed the head kitchen maids, who were all very respected, to serve Nanda Maharaj and his two sons the morning meal. Sri Brajaraj, Nanda Maharaj, put them left and right next to them, and in the midst of this incredible tumult which was going on, these are the Brijbasis, they're very uncomplicated, he took breakfast with them, with his sons. Then he rested nearly for 1 hour with the two brothers who were the personifications of supreme bliss. One was on the left side, one on the right. Because it's known, take a good rest and all the anxieties go out of the mind. So soon it was evening, and the time came, which is called Uttana Goshta, when the cows return from the fields. It's a very auspicious time. They had all rested well, they felt happy. And Nanda Maharaj then went to the Goshal, where he directed, like every evening, the milking of the cows and caring for them. It is here where we leave for today. Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and Balaram, they are totally absorbed in parental bhav. But there is a big question. What will happen with the Yashoda? Krishna, who had done all this pastimes, had only one thing in mind. Something which he always has in mind when he deals with his devotees. He wanted to intensify the love and affection of Yashoda. He wanted also to show the whole world the incredible sweet relationship between him and his mother. And just like a rich man, in order to show the purity of his gold, sometimes melts it in fire so that everything else goes and the gold just is brilliant. In the same way, Krishna chose to put Mother Yashoda through a fire of purification. This is how we speak from our perspective. From the real Braj perspective, it's not right. We are purified. We are to be purified. Yashoda is not to be purified. She is already on the highest perfection of bhakti. But I just used this word purification, the fire of purification, more really in relationship to us. The Lord sometimes puts us through a fire of purification. When things don't go the way we want, when we have a headache, splitting headaches, when we are diseased, when relationships turn sour, when we may feel insecure because our rental contract is cancelled, whatever. A devotee sees that as a fire of purification, because by this he loses all dependency on worldly arrangement and rushes to the Lord, seeing that Krishna is his only shelter. All the other shelters have disappointed him. Now he's ready. When Krishna does this to his devotees in the spiritual world, it's not to purify them, but when he does it to us, he purifies us with this. We should take more shelter when the fire of purification comes. We should understand when that fire is around us that now it is time for me to give up all my so-called attachments which don't serve me well in this world and to go to Krishna only. Hare Krishna. More tomorrow.